In this you rejoice. Peace be with you. On this second Sunday of Easter, celebrating the divine mercy of God, we are asked to brave a closer look at fear, and eyes wide open stare at what it means for a follower of Christ to live dreadfully panicked. Just look at the disciples who locked themselves away, afraid of the Jewish leaders. Look at the Jewish leaders who chase and threaten, afraid of the disciples and their teacher. Look at Thomas, fearful of disappointment and despair. He denies the resurrected Christ. I will not believe. And look at us. Are we afraid? Are you afraid? The psalmist this evening sings, I was hard pressed and I was falling. Peter must remind his brothers and sisters in the midst of their various trials that their inheritance in Christ is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. Jesus appears among his friends and with them behind their locked door. He must say to them, peace be with you. He breathes the Holy Spirit on them, charging his friends to go out and preach. He shows them that security is not the Christian answer to fear. It is his peace that trumps our fear. And our commission from Jesus himself, I send you as the Father has sent me, this commission is the source of our peace. So what is peace for a Christian? Now we might have this idea that Christian peace is pacifist. That is, we might tend to conflate peace with being passive and call pacifism the only proper attitude for a Christian to take in the face of violence, persecution, and trial. And why not? Surely it is the case that when faced with the ire of the Jewish leaders, the disciples run home and lock their doors. Surely it is the case that in the early church, one soul after another drops away when the way gets to be too much to handle. Surely it is better to live another day to preach than it is to die inopportunely. Surely Thomas is right to deny the bizarre claims of his brothers that the dead and buried Jesus has appeared to them. With both the temple and the state chasing you for being a heretic and a traitor, surely it is best to shut up, run away, hide, and just wait. Surely, surely, this cannot be true for the peaceful Christian. Thanks be to God, it is not. Our peace as a risen church is not rooted in pacifism, a passive lounging about in the face of opposition. Our peace as a risen church is rooted in what Peter calls our, quote, new life to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Our peace is an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, gifted to us by our Father, we who are by the power of God safeguarded through faith. We who are ordered by the Spirit to rejoice, so that the genuineness of our faith, more precious than gold, even though tested by fire, may prove to be for the praise, glory, and honor of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our peace as the risen body of Christ is our indescribable and glorious joy. We do not live with hope. We do not live in hope. We are hope. Embodied, living, growing, spreading, we are attaining the goal of our faith, the salvation of our souls. But it is not enough that I achieve the goals of my faith for myself. We, all of us, the whole church, we are charged with going out, with being sent, and with sending others out. To live as if the single end of our living hope is my personal salvation is to live fearfully, dreadfully, passively. To live against the hard, bare witness of Good Friday and Easter Sunday. To believe that I alone am saved by the cross and the empty tomb. To believe that my salvation is sufficient and that now all I need do is wait. This is another betrayal, another act of Judas, another discount on the ministry of Christ. Luke tells us in his Acts that awe came upon everyone. All who believed were together and had all things in common. Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together. They ate their meals, praising God and enjoying favor with all the people. We defeat fear together as hope, or we live in dread alone. Look at Thomas. The disciples, locked behind their fearful door, witnessed the risen Christ, his wounds, his peace. They witnessed Christ as they have never seen him before. Thomas is not there. And when his brothers testify to Christ's visit, he says, "Unless I see the marks, I will not believe." 1 week passes. And we can only imagine what happens in that single week. Do the disciples plead with Thomas to believe? Do they challenge his lack of faith? Do they argue with his skepticism, his need for physical evidence? Why do they need for Thomas to believe? Maybe Thomas regrets his willful rejection of his brother's witness. Or maybe he becomes more and more obstinate in the face of their cajoling. Maybe Thomas, exhausted from the pressure, from all the nagging, resolves to just live alone outside the witness of his friends. In just 1 week, maybe everything he learned from his master sours, and he grows in fear. Who knows? We don't. What we do know is that 1 week later, our Lord appears to them again, and he gives Thomas what Thomas believes he needs to believe. Physical proof. But lest Thomas or any of us begin to think that this faithless demand for evidence is ordinary, Jesus teaches them and us, "Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now let's say here that Thomas's sin is not unbelief per se, but a failure to be a living hope with his brothers. Rather than hope with his friends, Thomas demands a demonstration for his security. In other words, he needs to know before he believes. And so his peace, freely given through God's hope, is ruined. Fortunately for him, our Lord decides to restore his peace and teach him a lesson. "In this you rejoice. Peace be with you." And what a peace it is. First, Jesus says to the frightened disciples, "Peace be with you." Then he says, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." Let's see. Where did the Father send Jesus? The Father sends Jesus on a 3-year teaching and preaching trek across the home country with angry Jewish leaders and Roman soldiers on his heels. He sends him out with little more than 12 guys, some of whom get it some of the time, most of whom don't get it all of the time. One of whom will eventually sell him as a criminal to the very authorities that he's trying to avoid. And the others, well, they all run like whipped puppies into the night, right before he is found guilty and executed as a criminal. "Peace be with you. Here's your suffering and death." Obviously, Christian hope, Christian peace, is not a form of pacifism, but a radical means of being the living hope of God for others, despite the risk, despite the trials, despite the cost. And despite the risk, the trials, and the cost, we have this truth from St. Peter. "The Lord our God and Father, in His great mercy, has given us a new birth to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That living hope has been given to us, not to you, not to me, but to us. And nothing can stand against it. Nothing. Nothing at all. If we but take the peace of Christ, our living hope for eternal life, and spread it thick like spring seed." Brothers and sisters, we have seen the Lord. And now listen carefully to this warning. Listen very carefully to what I'm about to say. Peace be with you.